Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
And as our hands are extended and our heart is still wondering whether how much, you know, I get to keep in this struggle with God, it won't go very far. Our confession about who we believe Jesus is should be reflected in the conduct of how we are willing to honor him and his commandments. He said, well, that's Old Testament. Well, that's one of the reasons why I went to the New Testament. And I'm going to marry both of these things together in a little bit, of the idea that, you know, yeah, it was the law back then that God wanted 10%, but now we're not under the law, we're freedom of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you about freedom in a minute. Worship must include every aspect of our life, including our finances. Somebody shout hallelujah. Because you cannot separate your finances from worship. God, you can have everything else. I can dance, I can do all sorts of type of stuff, but leave my wallet alone. Well, bless his name. Worship will always be putting God's first. I want to tell you what happened when you came today. Everything we do when we come to worship should put Jesus in the center. And how do we do that? Well, we worship when we celebrate his goodness and his generosity to us. God has been overly generous to all of us. He gave me blessings I really don't deserve, but we serve a good God. We serve an awesome God. He gave me a house to live in that I don't deserve, a car to drive I certainly don't deserve, but he gave them to me. And I'm not going to honor him? Seriously. Well, we worship when we sacrifice something we really value. Do you know the one thing that we value the most? Well, some people say it's money. No, it isn't. It really isn't. It's time. Time is something that's irreplaceable. If I choose to spend time with some of you, I gave you a part of my life that I will never get back. And I don't know how long I'm going to live. But I've given you something that is irreplaceable. You say, well, there's a lot of money. But you know what? Money reflects time you invested that you'll never get back. And wouldn't you want to give that to the giver of all good things? It goes a little bit further to say this. What we value is what we will get our attention, regardless of how we try to avoid allowing people to find out. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. This is good. Matthew 6, 21. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Ever have someone tell you they're not materialistic and they are? Well, I'm not materialistic. I just like the best. I deserve the best. Really? You know, one thing I found out when I was over in Africa, and this is not a complaint by any means, when I go there and serve on the foreign field, my expectations go out the window. A cold shower was better than no shower. Everybody agreed with that. But the point being is that we give thanks in all things. And the blessing I want to just impart to you here, we made the choice to come to church today and worship God. How many of you came here under duress? Someone forced you to say, you will get up, you go into church, you go worship God or else. That's not how it happened. Now, I know some of you guilt trip yourself. You know, I've been to church in a while. I probably should go. God's probably looking for me. Hadn't seen me in a while. You know, I thought I'd give him a high five, you know, just let him know I'm still here. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. No. Believe me, you didn't do God a favor by coming today, but you made a choice to come and worship. But your worship will be incomplete if you don't go the whole gamut of what worship is about. It's not just showing up. It's giving up. your rights to everything that you think you possess. Well, singing to the Lord has nothing to do with what we like to hear, but rather what God wants to hear. You know, I delight in worshiping, but you know, I'm smart enough to know some of you are waiting for your favorite song. I'm telling on you. Yeah, that's okay. I'll give it a... Anybody remember American Bandstand? Love, easy dance, too. I'll give it an 85. Oh, no, that's a 62. Oh, it just didn't do anything for me. I mean, really? That isn't my flavor. The beat was just a little cocky or something like that. I just really like that one. I was all over it. You're nuts. This isn't about you. Did you ever ask God what he wants to hear? You want to want to hear honesty, sincerity, surrender, all of those things. Those are music to God's ears. It doesn't matter whether it's A flat, B flat, F sharp. God wants to hear from your heart. But you can't worship when you're stingy. Damn. We must always come prepared to give God our best. Praise during worship time. I don't want a show of hands on this because it's not about me finding out. But did you give God your best today? Or did you give him just enough to let the worship leader know he's not by himself? Or your neighbor to know that you're kind of into it, not as into it as they are, but you're into it. Always give God your best. Always. Well, the issue is this. God wants us to trust him rather than our bank account. God challenges us in obedience and in the confidence in his ability to provide for us, which he does a great job. This is the only place in the Bible where God says is, test me. This is the only place in the Bible where God says, you can put me to the test. Only place. Go ahead. Go through your Bible. Go through your concordance. Google it if you have to. But why would God say, test me on something he's saying, you owe me. Bring the tithe. I'll tell you why. Because God wants you to win. Really? It's like God giving you all the answers to a pop quiz. He wants you to pass. The only thing we have to do is learn how to submit. There's several other things that would fit into this. Actually, by giving to the Lord, we are tangibly testifying what God has allowed us to produce through our talents and our abilities that he has given to us. That's what it does. Tithing reveals whether or not God is first in our hearts. That's all it does. That's all it's about. Is it about the money? No. It just lets you know who's first. Why can't I keep my money and tell him he's first? Yeah, that's the problem. When God is our main priority, everything changes. There's a story about President Reagan when he was a little kid. His aunt took him to, this is back in the days when you couldn't go to Payless and buy shoes. Of course, I wouldn't buy them there anyway, but that's another story. But this is not my flavor. Okay. But you'd have to go to a cobbler. And a cobbler would get information about you. And actually, when I grew up over in Southeast Clinton, there was an old guy on the street there, and I think it was about 19th and Clinton, an old guy from Italy, and he would make everything by hand. You remember that one?
That's my grandfather.
Hey! See? I'm not lying. See, he was there. Testimony, Jesus. I love it. But anyway, so Grandpa was making shoes. He'd fix shoes and this type of thing. But this was another place. I don't know where it was. Probably in California. It could have been. And so his aunt was going to pay for him to have a pair of shoes made. And so, you know, a week goes by, and he walks by the store cop and says, "Have you picked out what you want your shoes to be look like?" He says, "No, no, I'll get back to you." A couple more days go by. No, I'll get back to you as far as that's concerned. So finally one day he goes by, and the shoes are ready. One of them has a pointed toe, the other has a square toe. And he said, "Why did you make it that way?" He says, "You didn't make up your mind, I made it up for you." He says, "When you don't make up your mind, somebody else gets to make the choice." That's marinating on somebody right now. See, when you don't choose not to give to God, somebody else will help you with your money. They'll help themselves, grab a handful, and don't really care what they do with it. They don't care nothing about you. But God says something, and he says, "I will rebuke the devourer. I'll get him out of your money. But if you want to hold on to yourself, go ahead. See how it works for you." And that's why some of you are in debt right now, because you become your own accountant. See, you don't tithe, you tip. And you tip at the lowest percentage you can. "I think God's, listen, honey, can we give him 3%? Let's see. We can still go to the movies. We can still do, yeah, 3. How about 2.5? If you don't, if you think those conversations don't exist, honey, you ain't been nowhere. Let me move on. It's hurting right now. God wants to change our hearts toward him and others that are around us. Tithing will reveal what is truly in our hearts. What does that mean? It means people who support their local church also are the same people who give more time and money to secular causes. I can tell you this is a statistic fact. People who are tithers are people who are helping some of the world organizations, and they're the most generous people on this planet. Tithers are. So really? But they're already tithing. Yeah, but they found something you didn't find. They found that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and all those that dwell in it. And everything I have belongs to God. So if I give to him and give to other people, God said, I'm going to pour out a gift on you that you won't be able to contain. That's not a suggestion. That's a promise. But you don't tithe to get. You tithe because it's the right thing to do. Don't raise your hand on this one. Ever made a bad investment? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. So it's not an investment program. Well, tithing makes you generous and opens your heart to feel compassion for others with a desire to be as Jesus would want you to be for them. Well, David Hill, I never met the man, but he said this, "Tithing is not God's way of raising money, but it's God's way of raising men." In the Old Testament, giving was a requirement, and there appeared to be no choice. Now remember, we're talking about choices. You say, "Well, wait a minute. There's no choice in here." God says, "Bring the tithe in the storehouse. Cut me a check." We must not forget the promise to open the windows of heaven. God is saying, "I want to give, but they won't let me. I told them I'd open the windows of heaven, and I've got all this stuff waiting for them, and I can't do it." Do you not frustrate God? Be disobedient when he wants to bless you. If you're saying, this phrase, "God is a good God, isn't God good," and this type of thing, if you really believe that, then why are you, not acting on that particular belief system? Well, it's interesting that God would take an example of the things that we go through and in our lives, and we sometimes would lose our way in our thought process. Well, here's the deal. The blessings are in giving out of worshipful obedience, which means this. We celebrate God's goodness when we give. You say, well, Pastor, why'd you put the giving till last? Is it get more money? No. I want you to give with understanding. Because here's what we do, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. But when we give today, it's going to be different. Some of you, you're tithers, and God bless you. There's a number of people in this church per capita that tithe, and I'm thankful for that. But for those who have missed out on this whole deal, God is going to do something. He's going to invade your space or invade your mind in a whole different realm, not to a place of condemnation, but for freedom to say, you know, finally we can get on to this place where we can have an intimate fellowship on a level that will bring honor and glory to my name. We allow ourselves to release and to let go of what we could have spent on ourselves. And giving is a choice to obey what we have been asked to do. And when we obey, worship is released and the kingdom of God is experienced in our midst. How does that work? When I was in Africa, I went to a little church. And actually, it's one of the churches that, if those of you remember several years ago when I went there, this church used to meet underneath a tree. Y'all remember that? Church under the tree? The church is now in a building. Come on, give the Lord some praise. But some of you wouldn't be happy. Because the floor is made out of compacted dirt and cow dung. It's been cured. It doesn't smell like that, but it's dirt. It's a dirt floor. The walls are made out of metal, and the AC is an open window. But you know what? The power of God was in that place. It would blow your hair back. Yes, it was. And so offering time came, and the Lord says, you know, I'm there to give an offering. Obviously, not a look. Took $20 out of my pocket and put in the offering, and just didn't think anything about it. And so at the end of the service, there was a big stir, and the elders were back there, they were counting the offering, and they said, what do we do with this? It's $20. Because $20 in their culture, because everyone there is comparable to 3 weeks' wages. And they're thinking, how can anybody afford to give us 3 weeks' wages? And I'm thinking to myself, you cheap rascal. Is that all you can give is 20 bucks? You scoundrel, you lowlife. It made me want to give more, not less. When God catches your heart, and that means so significant in anyone else, you know, and I wish I'd had more. I'd give $100 in a minute, because it's not for to embellish who I am, but to bless people beyond what I can even imagine. You want to give more, not less. That's when your heart is plugged in with God, because they're thinking, God is taking care of us. We came from underneath a tree, now we're in a building, and who knows, one of these days we might get windows. Some of you will stay home when air conditioning's not working. If we send out a bulletin, oh, by y'all come today, but the air conditioning's not working. You know, we'll feel, I'm gonna meet Jesus by my bedside today. I'm gonna spend a little quality time with Jesus. Really? Let me get over into Corinthians to help you, folks. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2 says this: that in a great trial of affliction, of the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. You know what? This sentence does not make sense. Let me take it apart for you. In a great trial of affliction, everybody's going through something. Somebody say amen. It may not be money. It could be a relational thing. It could be something in your job. But you're going through some sort of trial. That's okay. But if your trials keep you from giving, there's something wrong with you. Because something about this whole idea, it says, in the great trial of their affliction and abundance of their joy, if your trials take away your joy, there's something wrong with the Jesus that you're serving. Because in trials, he'll give you joy. Yeah. Yes, he will. And their deep poverty. There's the poor and there's the po. Some of you can't afford the O-R, you just po. Po-fo. Some of you have never lived in a trailer. I've seen trailers before. I've visited folks living in trailers. I've never lived there. But I will not label anyone because of where their abode is, because the same Jesus that's in all the doors in your house is in the trailer park, okay? Get over it. You're not better than anybody. Ooh, I feel the Lord moving in the house today. Our giving must be motivated by our love for God and his people. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's our love for God and his people. There was a crisis going on over there, and somehow the church found out about it, and they didn't have a whole lot of money. But in their poverty, the Bible says here, in their deep poverty, abounded in the riches of their liberality. I may not have much, but I want to give it. Well, when we give, we do not send our money on a rocket to heaven. Just want to let you know that. I'll tell you why I brought that up. Because some of you are purists, and you're going to say, until I know and see a financial statement of the church, and I know where all the money's going, I'm not giving any money to any church, organization, or anything like this, because I'm concerned about where my money's going. I want to let you know something right now. It ain't your money once you put it into play. It ain't yours. Matter of fact, it wasn't yours before you put it in there. So I need to get you some healing today. It is God's money. And I know people do stupid things. They buy airplanes. They buy all kinds of stuff. They put gold and, you know, whatever stuff on TV. Oh, look, I almost went there. But anyway, they do all kinds of strange things. But you know what? When you give it to God, that they're accountable for that. Don't stop giving because people are crazy. And that's not an excuse. But listen to this. Giving is a part of worship that we experience here on earth, and giving is an act of grace. 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 You will experience joy in your worship when your heart is free to celebrate God by withholding nothing, including your finances. I'm just about where I need to go in just a moment. If you feel oppression or heaviness when an offering is being received, you have been disconnected from true worship. When that queasiness gets in your stomach, or when you get a little fidgety, or when you all of a sudden need to make a transition to, you know, to the facilities. Kind of interesting. Every time the offering comes, all of a sudden, it's like this robotic response. I'll pray for your bladder to be healed. That's what I'm going to do. Sorry, I hope that didn't hurt nobody. This is going to be a real healing agent here, because it's important for us to understand we should feel great joy and freedom in the liberality of giving to the Lord. And that key factor of joy that we experience by choosing to let go of something that we could have used to benefit ourselves. I know I joke a lot about Starbucks and different other places. I'm not joking today. In a few moments when we receive the offering, I'm not going to pray over the offering. You are. And you're going to pray over what God is telling you to give. And for some of you, for the first time in your life, God's going to say, give all of the tithe to me. And panic will overtake you. We have smelling salts. And I'm not suggesting that, but I'm going to tell you, that's what the Holy Spirit will do. Because the Lord said that word, test me. And if he says, test me, that means that he's going to help you pass the test. If he's in you. Now, if he's not, you got a problem. But here's the other little piece I need to put in here quickly. When we focus on what we've given rather than the one who gave us the opportunity to obtain what we chose to give away, we lose the blessing of worship. I'm going to let that marinate for a moment, because lifting our hands to God is an act of worship. Giving our money to God is no less of an act of worship. And when there's a separation between the two, that's where the devil gets in. Because he will lie to you, tell you, if you give that up, you're not going to be able to do this. And, you know, how do you know? And it goes all these different questions. And you know what you need to tell the devil? Ain't none of your business. I choose to worship God. And this is what God has told me to do. I have a couple more little things, and then I want to end with a, hopefully, not a story that's necessarily a tearjerker, but a reality story. True worship involves sacrifice. Somebody say amen. Amen. When you worship, you know what you do? You sacrifice your comfort. You say, we've been on our feet for 22 minutes now, and I'm really getting tired. Then sit down. Whoa, where'd that come from? Sit down. Well, I'm tired. Sit down. Nobody said you couldn't sit down. But I want to tell you, sometimes a blessing is when you push past the pain. Ever found out you could do some things you didn't think you could do when you push past that threshold? All I got to say is never hire a trainer and go to a workout facility. Because they're mean. They're over there, they ain't doing nothing. One more. There you go. Come on, higher. He ain't doing nothing. And he's over there, you got it. I know I got it. You ain't got nothing. But when you get up to that particular point and where you thought you'd never get, there's a victory in that. And God wants to take you where you've never been before. We quit too soon. Whew, that felt good. Hallelujah. When we have truly given, there will be an excitement about our obedience and what it will produce to advance the kingdom. We must learn to live beyond ourselves when we release our gifts to the Lord. Worshiping is, in giving, is releasing ministry on so many levels. The gift that we release to the Lord opens the doors and impacts the lives that we may not know about when we get to, so we won't know about until we get to heaven. Are you up there? I want to show that picture for me. I have one picture I need to show. Oh, you can just go to that. Hopefully you can come back to this. Picture of me with a young girl. You see that young lady on the screen there? She, when I went over to Africa, one of the assignments I had was to talk at the graduation. She's one of the graduates that graduated from the Bible school over there. She's 18 years old. Her name is Oceana. And Oceana graduated at the head of her class. One day before graduation occurred, she got a message from her village And Melody, she had known about this before, but the village was, after you graduate, you will come home. Your father has sold you for 15 cows to be the eighth wife of a Maasai. And you will go. You have no choice at all whether you go or not. You've been bought with 15 cows. Just leave her up there for a moment. She's devastated. She's crying. All these different things. She spent her life just, this is what her desire was, to go out and spread the gospel. She has no recourse. The village elders have made the decision. There is no appeal process. There's nothing. She cannot engage an attorney. That will be her fate. Ah, but wait. Prayer. I can tell you, we only live our days really one day at a time. So that night after we got that particular word, I said, God woke me up in the middle of the night and I said, Lord, I know I'm going against culture. I know I'm going against tradition. This time I said, but if there's any way you can turn this situation around. Now, is that stupid talking to God? Is there any way you can do anything? You know, okay, I'm human. He gets it. So, on Sunday morning after graduation, she came to the door of the house where I was staying. She knocked on the door and she just fell into the arms of the directors of the picture place and she shook my hand. She said, she waved goodbye to me. She says, they'll be coming to get me soon and I'll be gone. Monday morning, they didn't show up. But that's only one day. They could have gotten stuck in a storm. Tuesday morning, when I left, she was still there. And no, hold on. But I'm talking about when you believe God, that God does the impossible. I just got an email this morning. She's still there. I want you to know we are serving a God that doesn't care about culture. It doesn't care about what men say. If she were to leave tomorrow, that's 7 days of freedom she didn't have before. Somebody ought to shout because that's what God does. But I want to tell you, don't look to what you don't have. Look to what God has done. All of us live one day at a time. And some of you got your future. You go, well, when I retire and this time, honey, you go drop dead before you hit the street. It's only by God's grace. And what I want to tell you, we need to have a whole different attitude. Because you got to say, I've got my 401k and this time, somebody else will spend it. You'll be in heaven appalled over what they did with your money. But I want to let you know it's not your money. It's God's money. It's not your time. It's God's time. And if you belong to God, God will make the last decision if you've given your life totally to Him. That's what surrender is all about. Woo, Jesus. When we worship in giving, it starts with surrender. 8:5 says this, you know, you can go back to my little scripture there. But be praying for her. And they'll keep me posted as to what's going on. But that girl's got a calling on her life. She was number one in her class. That's why the devil singled her out. You understand? But God is going to do something. And even if she goes back to this 75-year-old man with 8 wives, number 8, God will turn that house upside down. They'll throw her out because of Jesus. They say, you can't stay here with your stuff. You see what I mean? It's not over. It's not finished. When God is in it, all things are, they don't know what they're messing with. Glory. And not only as we had hoped. First, they gave themselves to the Lord. and then to us by the will of God. That's God said, Holy Spirit said, stop. Okay, I'll stop. First, they gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us. Just Paul, you come up here. Worship team, stay where you are. You see, how are we going to end this service? People come to the altar and get saved. Mm-mm, no, 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 ain't going to happen that way. Mm-mm. Salvation is going to come in the way perhaps that you've never thought of before. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Ushers, come, put the baskets, line the altar up here. It's right across the front. Every head bowed, every eye closed, because I want you to listen to what I'm going to pray. By the power of the Holy Ghost, freedom is going to come to people's lives today like they never thought it would come before. You said, through giving? Yeah. So listen carefully what I'm going to tell you to do. Listen very carefully. I'm going to reprise, I surrender all, in just a moment. We are all going to worship the same way, and I'm going to have you pray in just a moment over what you're going to give to the Lord. You say, well, I feel like I'm being hijacked. No, you're not. You're going to defeat the devil on a level that he has held you hostage forever, many people. And even if you don't have any money with you today, by faith, I want you to do something. I want you, in a moment, just reach in there and get an envelope. Don't put your name on it, because I don't want to know. But I want you to put an amount on it that God's telling you to give, and how you get it here, if you mail it here, if you come over next week and give it to God. But the reason for this is to break a stronghold in your life. In the name of Jesus. Some of you have already purposed when you came here, you had your tithe ready to give. That's fine. Do that as well. But I believe God will even challenge people here. They got it already figured out. They got a system going. God says, I want you to go beyond what you normally do. Do it because you love me. Not because of your righteousness. So I'm going to pray over the offering in just a moment. I'll invite you to come. And then also, as my altar workers come, I'm going to ask them to stand off to the right and to the left. If you need prayer about anything, they'll be there for you to pray with you. Whether it's salvation, whether it's healing, whatever it happens to be, it's all going to happen at this very last few minutes of this time together. But only after they've come to offer their gifts to the Lord, then I'm going to dismiss, and we're just going to go and do what God wants us to do. Listen to me as I pray. Father, this is a sovereign day. And Lord, for some people who are uncomfortable, the devil will tell them this is a ploy, and I want to let them know that's a lie. That, Lord, you've given us health and strength and all these different things. And today we need to sow back into what you've given to us. Lord, you're telling every person in this room, not one person will be an exception, to release unto you what belongs to you. Lord, I wipe out every excuse. And in the name of Jesus, I free your people to worship as they've never worshiped before. Now just sit still for a moment and let the Holy Spirit just speak to you what you should be giving. Just let him do that. He'll show you what you should be doing. Now remember, if you don't have any money with you, I don't want your name on the envelope.
just put an amount and just put it in there. Because I believe that 100% of those people that put an amount on there, all of it will come in this week somehow, or maybe next Sunday. I don't know. That's my belief system, because there's something that God's going to break through in our church. It's all about giving. And as I was coming up to the pulpit, God told me, and I'm not boasting over this thing, but my wife overtithes, if there's such a thing. But the Lord told me, he says, give more money today. I don't care. Not a big deal. Because I want to be the person is sowing the same way that you are. Father, in the name of Jesus, I curse the devourer in people's life that's been stealing from folks. I curse the spirit of poverty on folks that say, I just can't give. I curse that addictive spirit where people are bound to various substances called alcohol and to gambling machines and all kinds of crazy things they get themselves. I curse the addiction of drugs, that people have saved a little aside so they can see their dealer and get their drug situation. I curse that in life. Lord, let them give to your kingdom and let there be freedom in the house today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You can lift your heads for just a moment. If you need to get yourself prepared to give, I'll give you just a minute or two before we start marching around. Now, worship team, you can come now. You can come now. They're going to help me lead out in worship. And remember, as you come by, as the people that are on the ministry team, they'll be off to the right and to the left to pray with you if you need some sort of assistance. Do you believe this is from the Lord today? Just lift your hand and see if you believe that, because this is from God. Pastor didn't go over to Africa to come back to fleece folks. It's so that we can be free to be who God has called us to be. Everyone stand to your feet. Ushers, would you kind of help them in getting it? Come on. As God is directing you, just come. Bring your gifts today.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.